Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Hope you're doing wonderful. And just welcome you to the show. This is our new time. And we've got a fantastic show for you today. We've got a very good friend of mine, Ms. Margot Passant, sharing her book, Genius Lives Within. And so we're going to get to that in a minute. And before we do that, we'll do our some of our normal getting going conversations. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we come to you every week live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm out of New York, and we're going to have Henrietta Bird, who's also going to be my co-host on the show. She's actually on, and Henrietta, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you. How are you today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I am wonderful. I'm blessed. I woke up today.
Amen.
So, so given that, it's party time. You know, what am I going to generate and create on the planet today? So I'm looking forward to the opportunity. And as I said, we have an outstanding, outstanding show. So let me do the declaration, and then we can get to our special guest and go from there. So, the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. October 17th, 2014, north, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. So when I read that declaration, I really get how connected our special guest is to that conversation,
yeah.
Margot Passant. So, you know, it really sits inside of that. Henrietta, let me pass it on to you, and then we'll get our guest on. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just thinking about community, you know, like funding our community, you know, responsible for funding our community. And I was thinking about you, Glenn, and Conrad, who holds the space for virtual, and the fact that you were in New York yesterday, and he was in New Jersey yesterday, and now you all are in Detroit funding that community. You know, funding communities is more than financial. Funding communities
Absolutely.
Is also supporting one another, and so I just would like to acknowledge you and Conrad for traveling to support another community member. And as she that's a wonderful journey, you know, in her life with her business. And so you all are right there. You know, that's where I'm holding you all today. So acknowledgement, praise, and celebration to you, Glenn, and to Conrad for the support that you are showing this weekend. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And that's the opportunity that the International Black Summit is. That's the opportunity. I think that our special guest and her book really speaks to. So with that, let me begin the introduction, because Prashant is a personal friend of mine, a champion of the spirit, of honoring the spirit. We worked together in the establishment of PDEG, People of African Descent Empowerment Group, back in the early 90s, and she was my coach. And then she was a seminar director, so she led seminars for Landmark Education and has since become the first Black forum leader for Landmark's work. And prior to that, Margaret was full of a lot of firsts. She was the first editor, a fashion editor for Vogue magazine. Margaret was doing commercials back in the 90s. She had this fantastic hat business. She would make these hats that were just fierce, and each one was unique. So you didn't have to worry about nobody else having your stuff, because you had Margaret original, okay? So, you know, these are just a few of the snippets of who Margaret is and Margaret stands for, and she has stood for this community and really for all communities. I would label her, I don't know if she would label herself that, but I certainly would label her a humanitarian, someone who is out to support people who are of human beings that honor the spirit of being a human being, and all of that is encompassed. So with that, there are lots of other things. Matter of fact, I could actually use up the whole show describing, talking about who she is, but we're here to really discuss the book that she has just newly released called Genius Lives Within, Accessing Our Birthright Power. Let's welcome to the show Ms. Margaret Prashant.
Hello. I'm grinning from ear to ear.
Welcome.
My cheeks are hurting me. It's so good. It's so good. Wow. What an introduction. Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you so much for inviting me to, you know, the radio show, the International Black Summer Radio Show. That in itself is an honor and a privilege. I just wanted to make one little correction on my introduction, if you didn't mind. You said that I was the first editor at Vogue magazine. I wasn't the first editor, but I was the first African-American woman to be a full fashion editor at Vogue magazine. I was there from 1979 to 1985. And the first Black man to be an editor at Vogue magazine was Gordon Parks.
I followed
Gordon Parks. He was the first Black man, and I was the first Black woman. And there's been no other women, really, as editors at Vogue. But that, just put that little piece in there. And the hat company was called Hat Sisters. Hat Sisters was my company. And what a joy. But thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's get right to this book. And folks, you got to go out and get this book. I'm telling you, when I put the book in my hands, it's got this silky feel to it that no other book I've experienced with. So before, so that was my introduction to the book. Is this feel I now can feel the fashion in you in this book in just in the cover. But the book is Genius Lives Within. And what was your inspiration for this book, Margaret? When did you know or what sparked you to actually create this book for us?
Okay, well, what actually caused me to come up with this realization that a genius lives within was that I was just sort of taking a look at my life. I've been traveling all over the world for the last 30 years of my life, and I just moved from Australia for 4 years, where I was working in South Africa for 4 years, and I moved to New Orleans, and I was living in New Orleans after Katrina, you know, and living life, and then I decided I'm going to move to L.A. I want to live in L.A. I've never lived to L.A. And then here I am, and I moved to L.A., and I found a wonderful little place to live, and I realized many of my accomplishments, things that I've achieved, successes that I've had in my life, glorious, just simply glorious. And then as I turned my head to the left, I looked at how many times I crashed and burned. As high as I flew with my successes, I'd crash just as low with having nothing at the bottom. Like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do next? Or how am I going to handle this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And immediately, you know, when things got at the bottom, because I like to wait till they get to the bottom before I get in action, I realized that I always pulled another rabbit out of my hat. There was always that next great success, that thing that I could achieve and accomplish. And I'm a life coach. I've been coaching for over 30 years, and I do one-on-one coaching, group coaching, corporate coaching, you name it, I coach it. My favorite is one-on-one coaching and just making a difference with people. And I started to realize all the things that I'd done in my life from young, studying astrology when I was in my teenage years and going to chant at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine with Hilda in the 70s and going to Abyssinia Baptist Church with Adam Clayton Powell as a child and going to the synagogue on 110th Street in New York City and then in Africa going to Hindu temples and going to the Buddhist temple in the valley in Los Angeles. And I realized that I had been working on myself for a very long time. But what I wasn't doing, I wasn't practicing what I preached.
Mm.
And so I just took on, I said, I'm not giving my word to anybody other than myself, and I'm going to practice what I preach. And I took on meditating, being still, being quiet, sitting alone on the beach, in a bench, in the park, in the bathroom, on my bed, in my prayer corner, standing in my closet. I took on going within and silencing that noise in my head, the ever-present, what you're going to do tomorrow, you didn't succeed, you didn't accomplish, how come you didn't get that done? Oh, you got that, what's next? Silencing all of that. And in a real moment of practicing, I heard a voice as plain as I'm speaking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice said, there's a genius that lives within you, girl. If you just be quiet, I'll tell you everything you need to know.
Well, that's great. This book, I think, captures it. One of the things I want our readers to know about, you do this thing in the book called The World Within and The World Without. Give us some insight into the power of that and how you've utilized that throughout your book. And again, this is The Genius Lives Within, and we're here with Margaret Poussaint sharing a little insights about her newly released book. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, there's two worlds, but we live our lives as if there's only one. And we live our lives like there's this world out there that we have to get and have and achieve and produce the results that we've been told that we needed to achieve and produce. You turn on the television and we're informed by every television commercial. We pick up the news, we're informed by every editorial. Right now the concentration in the world is on the conversation around Ebola. So the conversation mm-hmm. around Ebola is informing us of how we think and what we do and where we move and how we travel. And we're being completely run and controlled by something that we're not even aware that's controlling us. We're listening to this blog talk radio because the world says the internet is the way to go. We've got to get on the blog talk radio, so we got to get on here and listen. And then that gives us what we get, because mm-hmm. we can only get what's out there in that world. And then there's a world that is within us that we've completely, completely forgotten about, which was given to us at our birth. The mm-hmm. moment we took our very first breath and we died from our mother's womb and we were born onto this earthly plane, because we swam in, you know, in the umbilical, the fluid within our mother's womb, we swam like fish. But when we were mm-hmm. born, we stopped swimming and we breathed air for the very first time. And some of us strangled and coughed, and then some of us smiled and cooed, and boom, we were born. And then the next thing, some of us did none of that, and they called them stillborns. And their energy ended from that phase right at that moment. But our energy continued forth. And we got the very first gift from Source, Divine, whatever you like to call her, which was the gift of breath. And that gift of breath came from within us. And we pay no attention to it. We don't even think about it. It doesn't even occur to us. Except without it, we die. And within us lies who we really are, our descendant, you know, the ancestor of all ancestors, from whence we came. You know, if you took the DNA of Source, the Divine, God, Buddha, Krishna, whatever you want to call that name, that DNA would have the same markings as your DNA or my DNA. And that runs through our veins. That's within us. And I studied all philosophies and religions, and in Christianity, you know, it talks about when Christ came, and he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. And this was after he was crucified in the tomb, out the tomb, walking down the road. People said, oh, that Jesus, yeah. He says, I'm going to leave you a comforter. Don't worry, you guys are going to be great. You're going to do better things than I did. And he said, I'm going to leave you a Holy Ghost. Well, we, like, as years went by, at first they got it because they started doing great miracles after Jesus left. But then we forgot over time that we had this genius that lived within us, and all we had to do is be still and be quiet and practice it. We too could get that same wisdom. So this world within gives us love and joy and happiness and creativity. And then the world without is a reflection of that. And if it goes a negative way, it gives us anger, upset, and despair. If it goes a positive way, we're happy and joyful and laughing and full of fun. But it can go many different ways out in the world. But when you come from within, it only goes the right and perfect way. And everything is really exactly as it's to be. But we have forgotten that. Because we don't think anymore. So the world within and the world without are the mirrors. You know, it's a mirror that always gives us the reverse or opposite view of the world. And when we really understand the possibilities that exist for you there, it really gives you the ability to make things manifest in the world without that wasn't possible before you realize that this genius lives within, speaks to us through the world within. That kind of says it in a nutshell.
And what it looks like is that inside of these foundations, so the book is broken into foundation 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and
yes.
inside of these foundations are different techniques and ways and resources to get access to that genius within. Is that accurate? Okay.
You're absolutely correct. And I love the fact that you noticed I called them foundations rather than chapters, because part of the problem that we all have is that we don't have strong foundations. We have weak foundations that our lives are built upon, because we're built upon past from dysfunction, past of mistakes and failures where we beat ourselves up and made ourselves upset and problematic about it. But if you have a strong foundation that's built on a high level of integrity, and then you build the next foundation on top of that, what you really build, it lasts, and it's strong, and it can weather the storms and difficulties that are always coming at us. It can weather the, you know, hurricanes, and it can weather wars, and it can weather Ebola. I can handle that, because we have such a strong foundation from which to come. So each foundation builds on one another, and the whole book is designed to go with a 9-session coaching series that I lead. And I've been leading the coaching series for the last 2.5, almost 3 years now. And it's done on the telephone with about 15 or so people. I don't like it to be much more than that, because we have too much fun. And it's too deep and it's too intense. I mean, it moves so fast. And out of these 9 sessions, you really do get the genius that lives within you, and you're able to create and take on extraordinary projects, processes, events, whatever you want to, like, I'm doing this. And I use this to write the book. I use the distinctions to actually cause me to have this book written, and in a way that whoever touched it, no matter where they were in the world, because I'm a world person, I'm not just a United States girl anymore, I've lived and worked and traveled all over the world, and have many, many friends worldwide who I love and who I respect and I've learned so much from, that whoever touched this, that they could really get present to the genius that lives within them.
Excellent. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we've got a special honored guest, Ms. Margaret Passant, and we're discussing her book, Genius Lives Within. Don't forget that we have an annual event coming up this August. It's going to be our 25th year annual event, and it's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, so the place that it started. So check out our website at www.blacksummit.org to find out information about any upcoming events, and certainly the annual event, which is going to be the 25th, and I'm going to extend the invitation to Margaret to attend that event. Margaret has attended some of the summit events in the past, and we'll certainly love to have her. And Henrietta, I know I've kind of been dominating the conversation. Is there any questions or comments that you have for our special guest?
Yes, I do, and I've been enjoying every bit of it. Margaret, I would just ask, can you share some of the downtimes that pushed you to the next high, you know, with our listeners, like so that people will get how to pick themselves up?
Absolutely. So one of the downtimes that moved me to California, to live in Los Angeles, California, is I was living in New Orleans. I was living in Sydney, Australia. My daughter and my grandchildren live in Sydney, Australia. So when I was working in South Africa, under contract with a major corporation, I commuted back and forth. Well, the contract ended after five glorious, glorious years, and you can only live in Australia if you can work there, and I couldn't work there because I was an American citizen and I didn't have a visa to work. I was only there as a visitor because I worked in South Africa. So I had to leave Australia. So then I said, well, I'll move to New Orleans. And I'll move to New Orleans because I'd always wanted to live there, and the food sounded good, and the music was great, and I said, what the heck, you know, let's give it a shot. But I moved to New Orleans, and I didn't make the connections that I hoped that I would make and the business things that I would hope that I would make as a northerner coming down south. I didn't connect worth a darn, and it was just not able to generate business, and I ran out of money.
Okay.
Now, I moved all my worldly possessions all around the world into New Orleans from Australia, and I got an apartment. I did not have any money. I didn't have any new clients. I didn't have any potential for business. I had nothing. And I had some great ideas, but for whatever reasons, they just didn't click in New Orleans, and I wasn't feeling it. I really can't say it any more authentically than that. I just wasn't feeling it.
Okay.
And so I said, well, what am I going to do? And I always say, you know, what am I going to do? That's what we say. What am I going to do? Immediately, I had to deal with the effect. I had to get some more money. But I would get money, because I got money, boom, and I was able to move to California. And I shipped all my stuff to California. And I moved to California. And I got money, and I'm living in Australia. And I moved to California, and I'm out of money again. Here I'm in California, and I'm staying with people because I didn't have an apartment, but I had to get my own apartment. And then I said, oh, what am I going to do? And again, here I go, the same thing to get more money. And it's like, wait a minute, I keep getting this more money, and then it's gone, and I keep getting it, and it's gone. And so I was walking on the beach, as I do, because it's the most beautiful thing to do when you don't have no money. You can just walk on the beach. And I sat there on the beach, and I just be still and closed my eyes, and I said the Lord's Prayer. And as plain as day, this voice said to me, I heard you. Stop working on trying to get more money, and look at what's causing you to not have it. I was so busy dealing with the effects of no money, I never took the time to look at the cause. And then I looked at the cause throughout my entire life, because I have made a lot of money at different periods of my life and spent every penny of it. And I realized that I have never been responsible for managing my finances.
Okay.
Wow.
I always just lived like it was 1999, and who cares? But I never took responsibility for my finances. So I would have, that would have me have these ups and these downs and these ups and these downs, rather than being responsible for it when I have it, so as to not be at the effect of it when I don't. And that came in the silence and with prayer. I really believe in prayer every now and again. I really do believe in it. Not even as a cultural thing, as a human being phenomenon. Because prayer is not a formula. It's really just allowing yourself to go to something bigger, greater than you are, and asking for what you want and talking about what you want. Because I'm clear and in no uncertain terms that it's all bigger than me. And when I really allowed myself to let go of how I'd been, let go of the ways that I'd done it, the things that I thought that I knew, I was able to really, and it took work and it took practice. It took 3 years for me to be on this conversation with you right now. It took 3 years for me, you know, to get this book printed and published and written, to get the conversation to a way that I really can articulate it so that others can get it. It took practice. And we don't like to practice. We just like to get on the piano and play. But
we want the magic without the work.
Exactly. And I'm not talking about African Americans. I'm talking about human beings.
Yeah.
We don't want to work. We really don't. But there are some of us who do the work. And I've been looking at those people who do the work, who are willing to practice, who are willing to be self-disciplined, to take themselves on. And those people are successful. So I hope that answers it a little bit for you, Henrietta. But I've been down, but never out, never out. I love what the Buddhists say. You fall down 7 times, but you get back up 8.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That was the perfect topic, or I should say the perfect foundation to talk about, you know, because everyone has that experience somewhere in their
yes.
lives, you know. I would say most people do. Anyway, so thank you. And if you will come back, because I would love for you to come back and talk to us about how you made the shift from never managing your money all of those years and the luxuries that you experienced to managing your money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we can hear what's available when you manage your money, what's available for us.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Now,
the book, you can order the book at MargaretPizan.com, my website. You can order it right there. I'd be more than happy to send it to you. It's simple. It tells you how to do it. And you just go to MargaretPizan.com or MargaretCPizan.com. Also, you can order through Amazon.com. Either one makes absolutely, you know, I prefer you to order from my website, but you're more than welcome to order for Amazon.com as well.
Okay.
So,
Margaret, would you repeat this? I heard the Margaret Pazant, and that's P-A-Z-A-N-T.
Correct.
What was the second one that you
mentioned? Amazon.com.
Okay. I thought you said something other than Amazon.
No, that was it.
Okay, so just MargaretPizan.com and Amazon.com.
Correct.
And you can also get her at marpizant@gmail.com. That's her email.
And I'm on
she
Facebook.
Can also be reached.
I'm on Facebook and Margaret
That's
Pizan.
Right.
My fan page is Margaret Pizan Coaching on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Margaret Pizan. I'm on Instagram at Beautiful Mags. So I'm available. You can find me everywhere. I'm not difficult to find.
Margaret,
can you
just share a little bit about coaching and what it is, maybe how you design the cost of coaching, how you determine what a person needs as far as coaching is concerned?
Okay. Yes, I understand. So, first of all, for me, I do my due diligence with each and every client. And that is, I have a conversation with them. It could be an hour, it could be two conversations, maybe two hours. And in that due diligence with the individual that's requesting the coaching, I really get to see, sense, and be with them in a way that I get what it is that they're looking for and what they want. So I design each coaching session and series for each individual. I don't have a formula that I lay on everybody because everyone is different and is dealing with different things. So I actually speak with them and out of speaking with them, and then I come up with really what it is that they want to achieve. You know, what's the result? I don't leave it open-ended. I'm not a therapist. And I don't want people to be coming to me forever. I want them to come in. I want them to be empowered. I want them to be ready to in action. I want them to produce results. And so I design it individually by each and every person what they need.
Excellent.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, we are all out of time, and we will definitely invite Ms. Margaret Passant, Genius Lives Within, back to our conversation in the future. Thank you, Margaret, for sharing your book with us and yourself. And thank you for the work that you've done all these years in supporting people all over the world in achieving what they want out of life.
You are very, very welcome. Thank you.
Right. And come back soon.
So all right. Well, with that, good afternoon to everybody. God bless you, and see you next week. Peace and blessings.
Have a great weekend. God bless.